The other day, well, a couple of weeks ago now, I saw a meme on Facebook. I saw a meme that said, "Stop saying Christmas is about family. It's all about Jesus." Now think about that statement for a minute. Now, I'm a Lutheran pastor. One of the things I am big about is that it's all about Jesus. I mean, that's what I get paid for, isn't it? To tell you all about Jesus, to point you to Jesus. It's all about Jesus. But I think in this post, something is being missed. It is also about family. It's about Jesus and family. Let me explain. God became one of us. The Word became flesh, it says in John's Gospel. This is what we're celebrating at Christmas. God becoming one of us. Now, there's many different ways he could have done that. He could have chosen that he would come as an adult. He's God, remember? He can do whatever he likes, can't he? He could have come as an adult and just appeared and spent 3 years, you know, getting baptized by John, going through those 3 years. That still would have made him fully human. He would have gone through all those ups and downs of with the disciples and everything else. He would have still gone to the cross. He would have bore our sins. He would have been dead and buried. He would have rose on the third day. But that is not how God chose to do things, was it? He chose to be fully human in every sense of the word, as in to be born, to be conceived in Mary's womb. To go through 9 months in there. To go through birth. Now, even then, if he was going, you know, once God had decided he was going to be born, just think about it. If you were going to arrange things, if you were going to arrange for the most powerful person, the most incredible person who has ever lived, someone who is going to change the world forever, someone who is going to save the world, someone who has the power of life and death, of creation and destruction, how would you arrange that? Well, you might think it would be good for him to be born into a powerful family so that he has the connections to be able to do all those sort of things. Remember when the wise men come? They don't go to Bethlehem, do they? They go to Jerusalem because they expect that someone as powerful as who they see in the stars would have to be born in the palace. We might say, oh, well, we would arrange for him to be born in a palace or under some political leader that's going to have a lot of power. But that is not what God chose. We could say that following the prophecies that are said back in Malachi and elsewhere in the Old Testament, that one of the things that God would do is that he would come to his temple. There's a lot of talk about the temple. That surely if Jesus is going to be God's law in the flesh, then wouldn't he be born of the high priest, in the high priestly family, have all the temple connections, all the religious connections? But that is not what God chose. He chose a young couple. He chose a teenage girl, a virgin, who in her society had zero power. She was either her father's daughter or her husband's wife. That was who she was. He chose Joseph, a carpenter, Carpenters back then didn't get paid what they do today. Carpenters were just a little bit above the poverty line. They were often paid each day. You know why people got paid each day? So that they could eat tomorrow. That's the sort of, these are very ordinary, everyday folk. They are folk who trust in God. That is what he chose. He chose an everyday, ordinary couple who trust in God. And Jesus came into this world, into our everydayness, into our ordinary way of doing things. Now, when we think of family, we may have lots of good goals for family. We may see that the ideal family is a husband who's madly in love with his wife, a wife who's madly in love with her husband, both parents dedicated to their children, children who are respectful and never speak back, children who do their homework and are excellent at school, and that the parents would earn a wonderful income, that nothing in that family would want for anything. Now, many of us, if we're honest, and I'll be honest, there's been times when I've had that dream for my family. You want the best for your family, don't you? But we live in a world that has gone horribly wrong. And often our families go horribly wrong. That is the mess into which God came. Jesus wasn't set apart from our messiness, from the chaos of real life. He was born into the middle of it. We're told in the Gospels of four brothers. He had four brothers at least. I say at least because only four are named. There could have been some others, who knows. And we're told he had sisters as well. So that's a pretty big family. Some of you older folk, you're quite used to families of we're talking six, at least six siblings there, maybe more. That was pretty normal. So he would have been grown up in a family with brothers and sisters and all the chaos that goes with having siblings. Don't try and pretend that there's not chaos with your brothers and sisters at times. He was born into that. He understands that. He would have gone through all the messiness of being one of us. But we often try to separate him from that messiness. We even do that in some of our Christmas carols, our Christmas hymns. One of the ones that always bugs me, Away in a Manger. You know that song? You may love it, so forgive me. Away in a Manger. What does it say about the baby Jesus? No crying does he make. What the? A healthy baby boy, guess what it does? That's learning how to, crying is how a child learns to use its lungs. He would have cried, he would have pooped, he would have stumbled. We're told in Luke's gospel after that incident in the temple when he was 12 years old that he grew in knowledge, that he had to learn. He didn't pop out of Mary's belly suddenly knowing everything. Suddenly knowing how to read and write and how to do calculus and everything else. He had to learn to speak. Think of this. The creator of the universe put himself through that. Learning to speak. Learning the pain of having teeth come out in your mouth. Learning the joys of what your hormones do during puberty. He put himself through all of that. Because this is how much he loves us. God works not always in the spectacular, but very often in the ordinary. So don't think to yourself, there's nothing special about me. Don't think to yourself, I don't have anything that the Lord would want. Our God loves you. He loves you so much that he became one of us. He lived the life we live. He died for all of us. And the Father rose him from the dead. Put your trust in this, Jesus, because he is someone who understands you. He knows the good times and the bad times. This is what we celebrate at Christmas, that he became one of us. Not something spectacular. It is spectacular, of course, because God's becoming one of us. But he does it in humility. Who came on that night to see him? Shepherds. No big parade, no state announcements. He came simply. At Christmas, put your trust in Jesus and cherish your families, because God cherishes your families. God wants to bless your family. He wants to work within your family. It is all about Jesus, but it's also about our families. Praise be to God who gave us families. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. So we'll be